All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I am super excited because we've got an awesome guest on the line this week, all the way from Seattle over there in the USA. A little bit about this person. She's an expert when it comes to group fitness programs. She helps group fitness managers find the answers they need to lead and succeed. She also helps club operators as well, and she helps them essentially elevate their programs, instructors, and leadership. She's an international speaker. I've heard her speak at IDEA myself just last week, I think it was, and she's a podcast host of the very popular podcast, The Fitness Managers Report, which I recommend everybody check out. Without further ado, it's the one and only Stacey Alden. Stacey, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Jono, so much for coming or for having me on this podcast. I'm used to saying coming to my podcast, so it's unusual being a guest. So I so appreciate the opportunity.
You're good. Well, Stacey, I've obviously been following you on social media for a while. I've heard you speak at IDEA. We've connected in person, so I've got a pretty good idea of what it is you do. If you could let the listeners know, who are you? What do you do? And also tell us a bit of a story. How'd you get into it? Where did you start? And how'd you get to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I've listened to some of your episodes too. And it's funny when you listen to someone tell their bio in the fitness industry, because a lot of us do begin from the same roots as being athletes ourselves. So I was a competitive swimmer in college. That was my avenue of, you know, I feel my health and my own personal health and wellness, and also my competitive edge, which I feel has gone away as the older I've gotten.
Oh,
I'm quite as competitive, but was able to accomplish my, you know, university school through competing as a swimmer, and thought in college that I only wanted to work with athletes. I found that, you know, I loved the formula and the motivation that they had innately. It didn't take much to get them to do what you wanted them to do as a coach. And found quickly after doing some interning at the local, the rec center for the university, that I just loved working with the faculty and students in class formats. So I was fortunate enough to have a mentor who oversaw the university rec center, and she would just have me teach everything. I was not certified in half the things that she had me do. Exactly. I literally,
in classes and yeah.
Yes. I remember Googling how to teach a yoga class before she threw me into a yoga class. And it was wonderful because I got to try and be thrown into those different formats, recognize what I loved. And after leaving there, went and worked for a large luxury health club known as Pro Sports Club in the Seattle, Washington area immediately after college. And my college was in Idaho, if anyone's familiar with that. With that area of the United States.
No one will be. Give us some background. No one will know where that is.
It's neighboring with Washington State. So the Seattle, Washington area is just, it's the state right to the right of it.
So bang in the middle top, it sounds like. Of
exactly.
America.
Middle
is?
Top. Awesome. That's okay. Perfect. Exactly. Okay. Lots of farmland. It smells like cows. That's okay. Where I went to school.
Gotcha.
So I headed back to the Seattle area. That's where I was originally born and raised, and actually ended up working at that luxury health club. Started as a personal trainer and worked my way up the chain of command, I guess you could say, to become the fitness director for group fitness. So specifically group fitness.
Yep. We call that a group fitness manager over here, or a GFM. Do you call it over there?
Yeah, we do. And then it's funny here in the US, I don't know if it's similar to Australia too. There's the group fitness manager, and then there's the fitness director. And then I did increase my title to be from group fitness manager to group fitness director, because I think I oversaw more locations eventually.
Yeah. Gotcha. Usually the manager is at one club. Over here anyway, the manager's at one club. And then if you're a director, you might have multiple clubs under you and the GFM reports to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Gotcha.
So that's what eventually ended up happening. I oversaw, we had three locations in that area. I oversaw all of their class programming and their private Pilates instructors. So it was nice to have the diversity of one-on-one instruction as well as group instruction. Mm. And then half of the group fitness instructors who were successful were actually personal trainers.
Mm.
So a little bit of working with them as well. And this was all pre-pandemic and then right in the beginning of the pandemic. Pandemic happened, as we all know. Mm. And I was able to work with our team to build a digital strategy. It's still somewhat happening there today. I do believe they tap into the free recordings of classes that we used during the pandemic, but haven't done their own digital platform ongoing. They haven't invested in that. So actually during that time, I would say end of 2020, I started to recognize I am kind of stuck. I feel like I could go further than what is happening here. The minds that were kind of at the upper, in the upper management area, the ownership, were a little more fearful of some of the ideas I had or some of the potential I saw in our team and where we could go digitally and in person and get creative. And I was approached by a company that is nationwide and remote, that oversees fitness experiences in apartment communities.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, so I took that role in 2021 and have been enjoying my experience. It's been really unique working with a team remotely. So learning how to hire remotely, lead a team remotely, retain talent remotely. A lot of it's still the same as far as what you would do in person, but you just have to get really creative with how you communicate with the team is what I've learned. So that's really, I see that as kind of a stepping stone for me in the future. And as far as future opportunities with, since now that's really how we communicate and work together is it's a lot of it's remote. And with that, it's been expanding. That company has now made its way from Seattle, Washington, all the way across to New York.
Oh, you're going to say Australia then for a second. I was getting excited, but
the not other, yet. Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. It's a big area, you know, Seattle to New York, still big jump across there.
Yeah. But I'm happy to speak to you as well. The multifamily or apartment community space I see that as a huge potential for more potentially gyms, studios, and independent instructors and personal trainers to tap into, to meet people where they live, because apartment communities have begun to build these immaculate fitness centers and they're including like yoga studios. One of our New York locations has a cycling studio. So that's been fascinating. And then this company does have online training as well. So we've been building an on-demand service and we also offer a live stream and everything. So it's been really, really fun.
That's great. And you're also a course creator now, Stacey, or you're putting together a course to help group fitness managers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Yes, thank you. It's something I've always thought I wanted to do for a really long time. And with the growth of my family, so I'm about 7 months pregnant on the recording of this podcast. Woo! I'm very excited that in just, I guess, 10 short weeks, I'll be having a human being.
Yeah, we
so
go.
With
first
that,
kid, first kid, Stacey?
First kid.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And so with that, I saw that time as being, you know, I really want to spend that time with my new child, but I also am recognizing that I've been wanting to create this course for so long. I was like, I have to do it now. So it's a a large course that incorporates a lot of information on from all the way to hiring as a newer man. If you're a new manager or you're a manager who's been doing this for a long time, it'll benefit you in just the processes you choose to use, some strategies that I don't think many people are talking about when it comes to leading a team in the fitness world, because it's so different from a lot of other areas of business, and the strategy behind it and how to stay organized too as a fitness manager. I think that's the really tough part. I remember being overwhelmed way too often as a fitness manager, and still now, you know, it happens, but I have these systems and these strategies that I use to avoid that and have, you know, so much more time for myself. And I have so many ideas to help managers enjoy what they do, because they aren't usually in it for very long because of how challenging it is.
Awesome. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that course there. You know, my whole business is online courses, so, you know, I'd love to hear more about that. But let's get into today's episode, Stacey. I believe you've got 4 tips that a group fitness or club manager could do to make sure that they have an awesome group fitness program. Let's get into it. What's point number one?
Point number one. So I kind of took, they're definitely tips, but they're also mostly compartments, or I guess I would say like building blocks to a successful program. So the things you really need to focus on as a leader when you're considering what you want to offer, how you want to offer it. So the first, I believe the base, almost if you were to think of like a pyramid, the bottom of that pyramid, the supporting blocks of that pyramid that I don't think get enough attention are the communication and the tools that you provide your team in order to make that communication really smooth as a fitness manager. Especially if we're working with group fitness instructors, they are like ships in the night. They are, they aren't seeing each other. They're rarely seeing you. So the layers I like to use as a manager when it comes to communication are really being strategic about using asynchronous communication, or communication that people can absorb kind of on their own time in their own way. And then tapping into, of course, the synchronous and making sure that it's not, one is not outweighing the other, meaning you're not getting text messages from your Zumba instructor at midnight and about simple things that they could have sent you an email about. So being really clear about when an emergency is happening, what steps you want them to take to make sure that that class or that client is covered. And then I've really found the value in building a dashboard for your team to utilize. GroupX Pro has been one of my favorite very simple softwares to use, but I'm confident that whatever software you're using, you can, I'm sure, have like a home page for your team to kind of see their statistics, see the team statistics, upload documents that they can find on their own versus you having to constantly hold their hand and do all of that work. So that base, I would say, is communication. And then with the tools, what does your software actually look like? If your team doesn't have the tools they need to succeed and you're constantly helping them having to work around it, right? Oh, okay, this only works if you slide this over here and then you add an L, like you do all these weird hacks to like make it work. That's just no fun for your team. And it's a waste of time, and time is money. So making sure your software is working for you and is learning for you as well. And I have suggestions for people too. They don't endorse me or pay for me, so I'm happy to give you whatever names and learn more too.
Let's spend a minute here, because there's quite a lot going on there. So let's even start with communication. So when you say asynchronous, actually maybe give us some examples. So what's an example of asynchronous communication that you recommend fitness managers use?
Well, I really love actually you can use voice. So there's Voxer or Marco. If you had a group of your instructors you wanted to have on that voice communication platform, I've loved using that with honestly friends and family who live other places, but I've found that it is a tool that they can hear my voice and it becomes a bit more personal. It could be a way to coach your team, get them amped up and excited if you're not someone who particularly likes video or likes to have meetings all the time. And that's the other thing, is we should stop having synchronous meetings all the time when we could utilize technology so much better. So a voice kind of memo, or if you do, you are okay with video. Sometimes there were times where I would just quickly film myself talking about something I wanted to happen in the studios that needed to be fixed or changed. And the results were actually much higher than just sending an email versus typing something up and sending it to them. I filmed it. They could see it. They could see what I was talking about in the studio. They could hear my voice, that there was a bit more empathy with what I was asking them to do versus me demanding in an email. And then at the end saying, smiley face, thank you so much for, you know, we always give that constructive stuff. And then we try to be really nice at the end, but the videos were really helpful. And then I would take that content that you build, that you use to educate your team or to provide for your team. And then you can always repurpose it and save it in, like I said, a dashboard. So like a library or a place where your team can go, whether they've been with you for a long time and they want to refer back to it, or if they're brand new. I've actually started with this remote company to build an onboarding process that is asynchronous, that I actually don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
The person logs in. It's kind of like a course. You can build an onboarding process very much like a course.
Yep.
They would just go through understanding like core values, understanding how to teach certain formats. You could cater that drip or that campaign for them to be very specific to what their needs are as a certain format of instructor as well.
Gotcha. Now, let me just get my head around this a little bit more. So let's even just say Voxer. I'm not super familiar with it. Is that like a group? Do you have a Voxer group? And then let's say you're in that you've got whatever, 20 different instructors at your gym. Stacy takes a voice message and posts it in that group. And then all instructors in that group hear that voice. Is that how that works?
Exactly right. Yes. So the difference between Voxer and Marco Polo, Voxer is just voice. Marco Polo is voice and video.
Gotcha.
And you can, I was turned on to this first by learning about coaches who work with their clients remotely. They were using that software. A lot of them were health coaches or even psychologists use it as a way to not have to meet with their clients one-on-one all the time. But let's say they're on a walk and they have a quick second to talk to their client about their health goals. I found it as a really good tool. You can basically build, like you said, groups of people who are listening to your voice and they can respond. So if it's something that there may be parameters you can set in Voxer where you're the only one talking and you, yep. So that people aren't necessarily messaging back and it could become kind of a nightmare.
That was, that was my next thing. I was like, so it's just you're suggesting you're the one talking. People won't send a voice reply back to you. Because that could be a nightmare. You got 20 instructors, you send one voice, there's 20 people replying and I need to listen to all of them. Like,
yeah, no, that might be too much. If it's a smaller team, that could possibly work. Yeah. But you're right. I would say maybe over 10 people, if you're using that communication, there may be parameters. I'm sure in the system, there must be parameters somehow where the voice is just you. Yeah, where everyone else is just listening.
So question with that, Stacey, why is something like that over, say, like a Facebook group? Because it sounds like it's similar kind of methods, right? What's your take on that?
Yeah. The only reason I say dashboard over Facebook group is I actually used those separately. I love that you mentioned Facebook group, though. I had a dashboard for our team to go to for more professional things.
Yeah, gotcha.
And when I mentioned GroupX Pro, I definitely loved their subbing tool, something about, especially if you're a studio who oversees classes, whenever people need subs, if the communication is through email or you're trying to track who's doing what in an Excel spreadsheet, things get lost.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, GroupX Pro or hopefully your software, most softwares can do this now where you can basically swap classes. So an instructor could post a class they want subbed, because that really shouldn't be something you do as a manager.
Yeah, no,
If you're still hands-on with subs, hopefully you're not doing it all, but someone takes that sub. What's helpful about it being on a dashboard is that they can think in advance. They can be like, oh, in August, like end of August, I need a sub. And whereas in email, if you think too far ahead, some people aren't ready to commit and then it gets lost.
You get your dates wrong. Oh, I thought it was this Friday.
No, yes,
it was
the 13th, exactly.
You know? I thought it was the 13th of July. Oh, no, it was June, you know?
Yep. And then when the instructor who offers to sub, they aren't given a lot of details. They might not know where it is, what location, what time. So exactly right. So hopefully it's something that works with your software. But the dashboard I liked to keep separate as more of like the workplace communication. But we always did have a Facebook group with our team, and I loved doing that. But I did have to make sure that I set expectations that the Facebook group was about like anniversaries and birthdays and maybe celebrations. Yeah, exactly. And that no one was asking for subs in that space. It did happen. And then we'd have to shut them down and be like, no, this is not where that happens. Happens over here. But that happens.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So it's kind of both. You kind of will have some kind of group there. And then there's also like a dashboard for more formal things. Awesome. All right. I'm with you. Step two, or next level up on the pyramid.
Next on the pyramid would be talent. You have to have the right talent, right? And so in my course, I dive into all the strategies I use when it comes to finding talent. There's a lot of unique strategies that we've all had to come up with because it's tough to find. I don't know about Australia, but it's changed a lot since the pandemic. It's not only challenging to find the talent, but to keep sometimes, you know, that talent. And I think the especially independent personal trainers are still struggling with returning to some of our guidelines as a facility, where we're like, you need to hit this many numbers of clients per week or per month. And so there's this constant, actually at IDEA, I remember going to a session where she was talking about how she manages her facility a little bit differently. They're not employees. They're not even independent contractors. They just rent her space. In a studio in LA. And there's still some gray area for us in that in the United States. But basically, I'm still seeing this conflict of these independent instructors and personal trainers want to do everything authentically the way they want to do it. But then it's really challenging for them. They don't have the brick and mortar, or they don't have the audience. And so they need us. They need the people who are managing and overseeing studios. But it's this balance of finding talent that's willing to work with you and work with what your formula looks like. What does your facility value? So that's tough sometimes, I think, right now. But I have my number one strategy, I will say, when it comes to finding talent, is to hire your front row, or to hire your best clients. And in the US, unfortunately, we still have clubs, more of the larger box clubs. I can't believe they still are not okay with this, but they won't hire members because they consider, we're losing a membership if someone.
Interesting.
Which is so sad to me, but they're the best instructors if you just hire them.
100%.
It's really interesting.
It's super interesting. So I'll tell you a story there, because I actually run a certification here in Australia as well. So along with doing CEC courses, we also certify personal trainers, right? And it's interesting because if someone is running like a small boutique studio or a boot camp or something like that, that's their whole strategy. They're like, I need a new trainer. This member has been with me for years. They know my style. They know my personality. They know everyone else. You know, hey, I'm going to pay for you when you go and do this course and do it. And that works fine, right? A lot of the big box gyms, because they'll approach me and they'll be like, you know, hey, Jono, we need some new trainers. You know, you got any new graduates for us? And I'm like, yeah, I can. But it's kind of like, you got thousands of members at your facility there. You're better off reaching out to them and saying, hey, do any of you want to be a personal trainer? Go and do this course, blah, 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 blah. Because the other thing as well, right? More in the personal training space, but still kind of relates group fitness. Let's just say, and I'll try and Americanize this as well, so that makes sense for yourself too. Let's say a student's doing my personal training course, right? That my personal training certification, and they're currently a member of Crunch Fitness, right? When they finish, they're probably going to try and get a job at Crunch Fitness, right? They're not going to be a member at Crunch Fitness and then be like, I mean, obviously some will. Maybe you don't want to work where you train, whatever. But still, like, majority of them are going to be like, right, I'm here at Crunch Fitness. I know the culture here at Crunch Fitness. But you know what? I'm going to go and work on the other side of town at, you know, 24/7 fitness or whatever it is, you know? So, yeah, it's very interesting you say that there. But I think... it's interesting to know that, but I think it's it makes more sense with group fitness as well. I think it's even more a group fitness thing. But yeah, no, I love that there. And I think it's a good message for everyone listening. And there's a few things with that as well, right? Because I'm quite passionate about this topic because it's one of the questions that comes up in my Facebook group heaps. Hey, I need a new trainer. Where do I go to get a new trainer? What website do I go to? You know, where are all the, you know, the good trainers or whatever? And it's kind of like, if someone is good at what they do, they're probably working and very happily working at that gym, and that gym's not going to let them go. So, you know, if you're going to find new talent, it's a lot easier to start building them up. So I love that there.
And I love that you said investing in the new talent and having them, like, I think, because that's really what holds on to them. They're going to stay with you for so much longer if they know you were the one who helped them accomplish this new career, and they have this totally different relationship with you. So love it. So that's my one of my strategies for finding talent. And then actually, it's funny you say that gyms reach out to you for education, because that's another, I think, strategy facilities can use is tap into who's educating the community. So if there's a yoga studio who does a 200-hour yoga certification, I actually would, there was an owner of a yoga studio who I knew had a 200-hour yoga certification, and she would basically send yoga instructors our way every time they graduated. So I had her as a sub instructor for the club so that she had a free membership.
That's great.
And that was like our exchange. And so if you're the owner of a facility, give them memberships, like give them something to in exchange, send you talent. I think that's brilliant. That's finding. And then of course, reviewing their, in my course, I go over how to review a resume, how to review an audition, whether it's personal training or group training. I have some templates I provide on how to review all of that. And then, finally the hiring process, and then the hopefully onboarding and then retention process.
I think, my take with the hiring as well is it's so important to have that person that's a good fit. For the, like, they might be a great instructor, but if their style doesn't fit with what you do, and I've had a couple personal experiences that both ways, which is fine. Like, you know, when I was running a boot camp, I'd have someone that would come in to take a class. They were a good boot camp instructor, but just not my style. And I'm like, it's just not going to fit here. And then even the other way, when I was starting off, I got a job kind of at a, just call it a studio. And I was teaching a TRX class there. And my style is quite different because my style is more kind of boot camp, fun, games, that kind of thing. And I ran a session there and the fitness manager was like, hey, John, it was a great session, but it's just a bit too fun and games for our kind of audience. We don't do that here. Is it okay if you run a session, but don't do that? And I was kind of like, not really. Like, I could, but I think it's important both ways, you know, where it's like, even as the instructor, it's okay for the instructor to be like, right, that's your style, that's your values, that's fine. That's not for me. Not saying yours is wrong and mine is right, but it's just, you know, I'd be happier working somewhere else. And I think that's so important as an instructor to be happy where you are, because otherwise you're kind of fighting it. If it's like, oh, I want to do it like this, but I can't because the manager's not going to let me do it. It's going to be a constant fight. So much better to find someone that likes your style, and then the fitness manager finds someone that likes their style. And it's just more integrated, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Having a team that's on the same page is essential.
Yeah. If you want to have unless you want a super stressful job, then people that think the opposite.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Let's keep moving up the pyramid. Number three.
Okay. Number three is program. So from communication and tools, talent, and then we have the program. So the four, the number is four for me today, I guess.
We have about 16 different points going on here.
Exactly. Can everyone keep track of these numbers? With program, I like to, again, because it's overwhelming, I think, as a manager, you're, especially now with digital and in-person and outdoor classes and seasonal and enrollment and, oh my gosh, it's just, it could make your head spin unless you put things in compartments. So I like to break down my program, and it also helps me assess the program. And when I say program, I mean the services you're offering and the day times and kind of calendar that you're offering them. and this could, your program, you should be assessing your program for group fitness and for personal training pretty regularly. But I break it down in time, and that could be time of day, length of time the class is offered, and then potentially the season as well. The type, and that's the format, or that could be the equipment that you use, or the is it enrollment, is it
is this the fit principle? This is what we use when learning how to program, you know.
Oh, really?
Time unless the next one's a frequency and intensity.
No, it's not, but it's the, yeah, that's part of it. I mean, that's exactly, you're thinking about it, that while you're programming for sure. So time, type, talent. So talent is your instructor.
Who's gonna take it?
Yeah, exactly. And then your team. So team and talent are different to me. Talent is the person who's leading the class, who's overseeing the service. Team is, I think, something we miss sometimes in the fitness space, that we forget about how important the welcome desk is, or we forget about how important the locker room attendant is, and how they are the voice of, and they're the ears sometimes, hearing feedback that people are giving as they're meeting with their friends in the lobby, or that they're leaving the club or the facility. They are the front lines beyond even the instructor. They're hearing a lot of things, they're learning a lot of things. And we may think that the relationship between our trainers and instructors is the best, but I've seen some amazing relationships between the welcome desk team, or the people who say hello to these people as they walk into our facilities, become even stronger than the actual providers they're meeting. So,
and they've got influence. Like, that member might not ever even walk into that group fitness class, but if they're friends with the person at the front desk, you've been to Stacey's group fitness class, go check it out, it's great. You know, there's an extra member in there, potentially member for life, you know. And if you're doing that with hundreds of members a week, you know, that adds up.
So always remembering to keep them updated, help them understand what your schedule looks like when you're making changes. I'll be honest, as a young fitness manager, I was horrible at this. The front desk team was constantly calling me, like, a member's here asking about a new program and we have no idea what it is. And I was like, well, why the heck don't you know? Like, I was always so frustrated. Why didn't you know? So until I looped them in and like actively made them a part of the conversation, that's when it just changed for me. It really benefited the whole program.
Yeah, that's massive. And I think it's just a good managerial skill anyway. The way I kind of look at it, it's always my job as the manager to make sure that people are informed. If that front desk person didn't know that that was it, what did I do wrong? Where did I not communicate properly? Because there's also a big difference between, we kind of spoke about it earlier in the communications, like, you know, if I just expect them to know, or I do a passing comment, or, you know, I just make a post on Facebook and expect that everyone's going to read it and listen to it. So it's great.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah, you're so absolutely right. And then there's information that you might be marketing right on like the signage or something. But then sometimes the front desk team will know 10 times more questions. So sometimes I would just send them our marketing and be like, what questions do you have? And they'd be like, well, what are the age groups and what are the, you know, the, what do they need to bring? And what, it was so interesting to hear the questions that they had that I hadn't even thought of.
For sure. All right. Number four. So we've got communications, we've got talent, we've got the program. What's the final piece to that pyramid, Stacey?
The final piece of that pyramid. You're going to love this one. It's your thing, is education and motivation.
Yes. Love it.
So I mean, that's pretty straightforward. We really need to continue to educate our teams. And then with motivation, for me, it is, and diversifying your education, and not only providing education formally, but I love informal education, where maybe you have an instructor who wants to try out different studios and see what they're doing and learn from other instructors, or, and decide what they like and don't like, and kind of shop other places. You could invest in them and doing that. So paying for them to go experience that, and then asking them to provide that information back to you. And then motivation is, it comes down to just being visible, I think, as a leader, helping the team get to know each other, and then making yourself more visible than being hidden away like a wizard in the background. being front of mind for your team.
You know what? It's actually an interesting discussion because I am education. That's all I do now. But starting off in my career, I did a lot of group fitness instructing. And I think that's one thing that here in Australia anyway, wasn't done a lot of in the gyms that I worked at. It was all self-education. It would, you know, it was on the trainer to go and educate themselves, which it is what it is. That may even be your solution as well. Cause it's kind of like, if you don't, you're not going to keep your job as a fitness instructor pretty long anyway, because the people that are educating themselves are going to jump you. But also now I liaise with different group fitness managers and fitness directors or whatever, and they say similar where they're like, it's just very hard to, you know, they might run an education event, but like no instructors will come down, you know, or that kind of stuff there. And even just one thing that worked well when I used to work at Crunch Fitness here in Australia, they used to do like a quarterly meeting, but it was more like a class mashup plus meeting. So it was like, might have been a 2-hour meeting, and it was like, right, you know, we're going to have five different instructors and they're going to give us a 5-10 minute workout each. One's going to do Zumba, one's going to do boot camp, one's going to do, you know, burlesque dancing or something, you know, one's going to do circuit. We'll do 5-10 minutes on each. So you get to know the instructors, you get to know the styles, you know, and the front desk people were in there as well. You know, they were all there. And then the 30-45 minute kind of meeting, which that was really cool. But apart from that, I think it was hard for the managers to educate the instructors. Any tips for that side of things, Stacey? Obviously, go to Fitness Education Online and just buy all the courses for your instructors.
Yeah, there
and
you
obviously
go.
Do and obviously upskill them in your course as well when they want to become managers themselves. But apart from those, any tips for the managers to get their instructors attending workshops and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I love it. Well, your actual example of what Crunch did, I love that, because when instructors are exposed to each other, it helps them recognize that they're part of something bigger. And
exactly.
Yeah. And the personal. Yeah. And
I wasn't just a guy coming in to run a session, you know, for the past 6 months. Now I was part of something.
Yeah, exactly. And the personal trainer who refuses to actually step foot into like a burlesque dance class or like a Zumba class, it kind of forces them to actually experience it, so that when a client asks them questions about it, they can actually answer honestly.
Yeah,
I've done that before.
Yeah.
And one thing we did at a club at the original health club I worked at, we did a studio showcase, is what we called it. It wasn't a team meeting, but it was actually for members to attend, and they would experience multiple formats. By it depends on your facility. If you have multiple studios, they can travel like in groups. They can travel to each studio. There's, you know, of course, you have to lead how they're going to do that, how they're going to navigate that. But it was a lot of fun. People would experience 10 to 15 minutes of each format and then all come together at the end, and we would give them swag. And then it exposed them to different formats. And the instructors, we always had instructors team teaching during that event.
That's great.
So they had to work together and they had to get to know each other. And I think that was a learning experience on its own. When it comes to education that you can provide as a director or owner, I would say, or manager, is I would say attending conferences. And then when you go, bring back that information, even if you think your team might not care. Like I've always loved kind of trying to take down what I think my team could know, or what our team meeting could be revolved around. So even with my remote team right now, they are independent contractors. So that's really interesting. I can't force them to go to an education meeting. I can't, the meetings can't be required.
Yeah.
So instead I just try to make them really, really valuable. And I plan ahead, and sometimes I build even like a PowerPoint and make it like this education session where we talk, but then when it's open discussion. Right now we're focused on pre and postnatal clients. Cause that's kind of close to my heart right now. And people are getting engaged, and I'm learning from coaches who have this amazing education that I didn't even know they had. So that's one way. And then I think we get so obsessed with CECs, like, you know, it's not worth their time unless it provides CECs. But if it's unique enough and it's good enough, and maybe you have a coach that's super passionate about something, they can provide that education to your team, and it doesn't have to be super 100%. Formal. You know, if someone's obsessed with kettlebells and like loves talking about kettlebells, have them do a workshop with your team, and they will feel super elevated because they'll love being the one you know, in front of the team and sharing that information, and then the team will learn from them.
Awesome. Love it. Awesome. All right. Well, great tips there, Stacey. Before we finish off, I've just got a couple questions for you. The first one is around mentors. So you're obviously a mentor for plenty of group fitness instructors, plenty of group fitness managers. I'd love to know who your biggest mentors have been. And if you could answer this in a few different ways, if you could share like a paid mentor, so someone that you've done their course or maybe you've attended their session at IDEA, or someone that, you know, you've handed over money to, an unpaid mentor, so someone that you haven't paid, but you follow them on social media, you attend their classes, you whatever it may be, and then a book that you recommend every group fitness manager or group fitness instructor should read. So mentors, paid, unpaid, and book.
So the number one mentor that I have worked with unpaid and paid, her name is... her name is Shannon Fable.
And oh, yeah.
You know her.
Yeah.
She was really one of the original pioneers in the United States that I was seeing at conferences talking about group fitness and helping talk about group fitness management. And she's the one who actually developed GroupX Pro and then eventually sold the company.
Oh, did not know.
To Daxco. Yeah. And we continue to work together. So I love being able to tap into her advice, paid and unpaid, for, you know, and sometimes it's event. It's like just someone to reach out to. So she's been, I would say, my biggest, you know, more formal mentor, Shannon Fable. Definitely check out her information. And I actually incorporate some of her guidance in my course as well.
Love it. Well, I'll just say a quick story there. So I saw her at IDEA, into one of her sessions.
Yeah.
She's been on this podcast maybe about 3-4 years ago. And actually the first ever IDEA session I went to was the Rookie Rumble in 2016 that she ran. Yeah.
Right. And so she's the reason actually I did get the opportunity to do that this year. So it was pretty fun.
Yeah,
she's
awesome.
A giver. She's happy to like give me opportunities. She's been so supportive. So she's my number one. And then unpaid, I would say the only reason I haven't paid them yet, I definitely could pay them to be my mentor, is just because I work more with the leadership of fitness management. But Shay and Barry Kostabi, who
are with Fitness
Career Mastery, I've loved learning from them, conversing with them. They have a young daughter, so I've been asking them questions about being a new mom, and also loving the content they've been giving and sharing for group fitness instructors specifically. They have so many valuable tips for group fitness instructors.
I've never met them in person, but they've both been on this podcast as well, separately.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I haven't met them in person yet either. I actually am just realizing that. I think when you do get to know someone online so well, you don't realize I actually haven't met them in person either.
Book. You got one for us.
Book.
Are you a reader? You can give us a podcast if you're not a reader.
I am a reader. I honestly was more of a reader. I will say I need to get back into it. So this might be old school. People might be like, well, that book is lame.
No, that's right. I read books from like 100 years ago, you know, Think and Grow Rich and How to Win Friends and Influence People. So I doubt the books are older than them.
Yeah. Right. I'd say I'm trying to think of like specific titles, but to me, any Simon Sinek book.
Oh yeah.
He to me is just brilliant. And so I've actually started to go from just like reading his books to actually just listening to his voice and hearing his opinions continue to evolve. So I love his books. I also do love, cause I love your Gary V picture that you have.
Yeah.
he's great. I haven't absorbed a lot of his content recently, but, I really love his concept of like that jab, right hook, philosophy. I'm not sure how many jabs it is, but
I know, because I base my whole marketing strategy on it. It's
three jabs,
right hook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, and that adds up to four, which four has been our number.
Exactly. That's why you loved him. Awesome. All right, Stacey. Well, that's pretty much all we got time for today. Is there anything, or two things? A, if someone's interested in your course, where do we go to check it out, or to jump on the waiting list, or to sign up? And B, is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
No, it's a really the course, if you want to find it, is just go to stacyalden.com. That's S-T-A-C-I-A-L-D-E-N. And you will find, or I'm sure if you Googled fitness manager course, it'd be the only thing that happened. It's called, or showed up. It's technically called the Fitness Manager Bootcamp course. And it's at the base of my website, kind of in the offerings that I provide or the services I provide, and it is listed at the top. And then there's just a link there to join the waitlist. I also have a newsletter I send on a monthly basis with always a theme for fitness managers. As you said in my intro, which was so sweet, was I provide answers for group fitness managers and fitness managers. So that's always what that newsletter is all about. What are the things I'm hearing fitness managers have questions about in the industry, and what kind of answers can I find? So in the form of my own podcast episodes, other podcast episodes I'm finding, or just written articles and content that I think is valuable. And in that newsletter, if you decide to subscribe to that, at the base of that every single month, I've been putting the link to join the waitlist in the course too.
Beautiful. Awesome. All right, Stacey, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort, so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes, all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, while you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.